So this morning, we're going to carry on with the theme of the Father Heart of God. And oh my goodness, what a difficult topic to preach on. Because I can't stand here and say, oh God, He's loving and He's kind and He's compassionate and He's so good. But, and then, what do we do with that? And I think the difficult part is to, when we understand the love of God as a father, as a dad, how does that manifest in our life? What does it actually change in our lives? And does it actually change anything? And that is what I want to talk about today, because it's really not an easy topic. And I mean, some people might sit here and say, yeah, I've got a beautiful idea or revelation of who God is. I don't really have such a revelation about Jesus and what He is doing. I can't really relate to Him. Or other people might say, look, I can relate to Jesus, but I've got no concept of God as a Father. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to reveal some of that and come and help us this morning with that truth. Maybe before we carry on, I just want to say Terry and Margie moved yesterday into a new house, and that was lovely. And I can see lots of barbecues there in the future. And Rona with a new baby. Welcome, Rona. Nice to see you. So let me start by reading a scripture. It's in, so what I want to do first is have a look in the Old and New Testament. What is the picture that we see? What is God like if we have to do that? So first I want to go to Exodus 19, just to give us an idea of what the Israelites and in New Testament the Jews had in mind. What is God like? So in the Old Testament, people had an idea of who God is. And they had in their mind, oh, this is what God is like. And also in the New Testament, with the disciples, Jesus' disciples, they had an image of God in their mind that is in the Old Testament. Because they knew that. They knew that so well. So let me just read Exodus 19. From verse 1, and it says, in the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai, after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possessions. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and said before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought the answer back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai and the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Whether man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, may they go up to the mountain. After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from the like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, go down and warn the people so they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them. Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up Mount Sinai because you yourselves warned us, put limits around the mountain, and set it apart as holy. Wow. Huh? Imagine we're meeting you on a Sunday and Mark sends an email like that. He says, consecrate yourself. And as we drive closer to the Carrying Up Community Center, we see thunder and lightning and smoke bellowing from the roof. I thought, yeesh, I'm not sure if I want to go to church this morning. Exodus 20 verse 18 says, when the people saw thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance. Can you imagine that? Armand, you're not coming to church like that. Everything is shaking, thunder and lightning, smoke bellowing, presence of God is there. I mean, I would be very scared to come to church. I would send Mark and Sharon in. You go and talk to God. I'll sit outside. But just to give you a glimpse of the picture of God in the Old Testament. I mean, it is fear and trembling. And you know, He's almighty, He's righteous, He's all-powerful. And let me just go to John 14, verse 7. And bring it back to what Jesus was saying to His disciples. So this is almost the end of Jesus' ministry. And very soon after this, He will go and die on the cross. So John 14, verse 7 to 10. Let me start from verse 5. And it says, Thomas said to Him, Lord, we don't know where You are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you really knew Me, you would know My Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know Me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? I want to stop there. So we've got this picture where the disciples, they sit with Jesus, and Jesus said these verses to them. See, if you knew Me, you would know the Father as well, because He's in Me and I'm in Him. And just put you in their situation for a moment. You've walked with this man called Jesus for 3.5 years. You've laughed with him. He became a friend. He suffered with you. When you were hungry, he was hungry. When you were tired, he was tired as well. When he saw people suffer, he had compassion on them. So it was like a close friend. And now Jesus is saying, oh, actually, you know the picture that you've got of God in the Old Testament of you cannot approach God. There's no full access to God. If you go up a mountain, there's lightning and thunder and smoke billowing in the presence of God. You cannot approach Him. Now Jesus is turning around and say, if you want to see the Father, look at Me. If you want to be with God, yeah, I am. That's what I've come to do. So Jesus, yes, Jesus came to earth to die on a cross and take away our sin, died in our place. But also what He's saying is to His disciples is, I'm an exact representation of My Father. So is this Old Testament picture wrong? No, it's not wrong. But it's not the complete picture. Yes, God is holy. God is righteous. God is almighty. But God is also a father. And God is exactly like Jesus. And Jesus is the exact representation of God. And that is what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples. Is that now, obviously, Jesus wasn't dead at that time, but was Jesus preparing? He was preparing the disciples and us that there's a time coming that we've got full access to God. I mean, if you go back to Genesis, before Adam and Eve sinned, I mean, you see this picture of God walking in the cool of day with Adam and Eve. How cool is that? Imagine God, the God that comes down on the mountain with lightning and thunder, walks in a garden with Adam and Eve, like friends. How amazing is that? And then Adam and Eve sin. And so often we try and figure God out in our own mind. So we can't approach God because of sin. And that's why he chucked them out of Eden. That's why we've got no full... In the Old Testament, I mean, obviously the presence of God went with the Israelites, but it was always in a tabernacle. It was at the back. There were thick curtains hiding the presence of God because no one can just walk in there because of our sin. And we have to understand God's holiness to get a revelation of this. God is not like us. We might think, oh, God's got issues. Why is he so angry with sin? But if we understand the pure and perfect holiness of God, nothing can exist in the presence of God that's not holy. And then after Jesus' death, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain tore in two. And all of a sudden, we've got full access to God. And that is what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal. That is what Jesus came to reveal. So what Jesus was saying to them is, yes, I understand you've got a picture of God as holy, almighty, untouchable, stay at a distance, tremble with fear. But actually, Jesus is saying, yes, that's correct, but there's more. And if you want to look at what God looks like, say, show me the Father, and that will be enough for me, like Philip said. Jesus is saying today, if you look at my life, that is exactly what God is like. And so let's carry on with that. So Jesus came to reveal that to us. So the disciples knew Jesus in a way like a personal friend. If you think of Lazarus when he died and they called Jesus, Jesus was too late, he was dead already. When Jesus got there, people were crying and they were sad. And Jesus wept with them. He felt their pain. He felt their sadness. And he cried with them. And obviously we know the story. He was raised from the dead. So they knew Jesus as pure and strong and confident. They knew him as holy. But they also knew him as a good friend that feel the pain of others and that can see and understand our pain as well. So what Jesus is saying to them is, the same way I walked with you and I saw people's hurt and pain, the same way God walks with us and he sees our pain and he's concerned about that. Let's go to John 17, verse 6. And Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. So Jesus revealed God to the world. 17, verse 26. It says, where is 26? I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I may be in them. And so what we see, what Jesus is saying is, just have a look at what I've been doing for the last 3.5 years. Yes, I came so I can die on a cross to take away your sin, but I want to do more than that. I want to reveal the Father to you. I want to reveal his personality. I want to reveal his heart. Yes, you when you believe in Jesus, God stamps your passport and you've got a passport to heaven. Well done. But there's so much more that he wants to give us right now. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples is, what I'm trying to do is, yes, you've got the Old Testament picture of who God is, but I want to add more. There's more to it. I want to reveal the personality of God to you. Then we see in John 14, verse 15, let's go back there, and it says, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to send the counselor, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. And then 14:26 says this, from verse 25, all this I've spoken while still with you, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and I will remind you of everything I've said to you. So what Jesus is saying is, during my 3.5 years, I've revealed the heart of the Father. I've revealed his personality, his longing to be with you. Remember Genesis 1, how God walked with you, enjoyed this creation. I mean, God created the world and animals and all the things, but then God created human beings, you and me. And it was pleasing to him, and he enjoyed us. And that's what was Jesus trying to reveal again. He says, you know what, yes, I get that, but now I want to reveal you the Father heart of God, how he sees you, how he enjoys you. And you might think, oh my goodness, if you know my life, I'm not sure if God's going to enjoy me. You don't know what I've done last week. You don't know how I speak to my husband, how I speak to my wife. You don't know how I treat my kids. You don't know that I'm maybe a racist. You don't know what's going on in my heart. I cannot see how God can enjoy me. And that is the crazy thing about God's love, is that we created in his image. God enjoys you. God enjoys you. But you know what? There's a condition. Does God enjoy every person? No, he can't because of his holiness. But for Christians, for us who sit here, for those of you who have believed in Jesus Christ, God enjoys you. You know, if you look at, just think about the angels quickly. And then Satan, he was in heaven. He sinned. God chucked him out of heaven, and a whole lot of angels as well. They get one opportunity, and it's gone. I mean, the angels can't repent and come back into the presence of God. God's not going to restore them. But what we've given us, because of Jesus, when we believe in Jesus, God pressed the delete button. Choop, delete. Sin gone. Deleted, deleted, deleted. Nothing. But you said, maybe you might say, oh, you know what? I've done the same sin a million times every week. And God says, if you repent, if you war against sin, the delete button is there, delete. So if you sinned last week with the same thing, and you come to God and you say, God, I'm trying to figure this out. I don't want to do it, but I catch myself doing it. If you war against sin, if you've got to design your heart to overcome that, God is looking at your heart. He's not waiting for you to be perfect and pure and a holy little Christian. Or you go to church, you do your Bible study, now I enjoy you. No, no. With your sin, with your failures, with your faults, because of Jesus, God looks at you and he says, I enjoy you. I enjoy you with your sin and your rubbish and your faults and your failures. I enjoy you. Let that sink in a little bit. That is mind-blowing. Imagine with your own kids, if someone hurt you or was nasty at you, if you can turn around and say, I still enjoy you. I love you. And that is what breaks my heart, is the love of God. That although we've got failures, although we've got sin, and we've got things wrong with us, God looks at us and he says, I enjoy you. So if there's anything, if you leave here today, remember that. The condition is you have to be in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. And when God looks at you, you see the righteousness, the beauty of Jesus. And you've got full access to God. If you're not a believer, repent and turn to God. Listen to this. It says in Acts 3:19, it says this. Where am I? Yeah. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come. Maybe you're in a dry place. You think, oh man, life is tough at the moment. Life is very tough. Everything is going wrong. Job, relationships, marriage, finances, the world looks like it's in a mess. Everything is just wrong. And you know what? Just change. Just change. Repent. Repent. If there's anything wrong, if you're trying to hide things in your heart, we're so clever sometimes. We think we can outdo God. God doesn't know about all the sin in my heart. God doesn't know about all my wrong attitudes and my wrong thinking. God knows exactly every little thing about your life. But still, we're trying to trick God and we keep little areas away from Him. And what the Holy Spirit wants to encourage us today is be open. Let your guard down. Be who you are before God. Don't try and be something else when you get with God. Just be open. If you're not sure, if you've got to say, God, I get you. I really don't get Jesus. I don't even know if I've got a relationship with Jesus. God, I don't even know if you're true or if you're alive or hear me. You know what? Just be honest with God wherever you are. If you struggle with, you're worried about the future or worried about a job or worried about finances or worried about how life will play out, take it to God. Take it to Him. Rest in Him. And He will bring refreshing. There's refreshing. The Holy Spirit wants to bring a refreshing to us. He wants to reveal God. You know, when I started, I say, on the Father heart of God, the Holy Spirit and Jesus revealed the heart of God. The Holy Spirit continues that ministry and wants to reveal the Father heart of God. But how does that look like? Do we all walk away here with goosebumps? Or do we just all walk away happy and that's it? I think there's more. I think as we understand the Father heart of God, the outworking of that is hope. With people that know hope, that works out in God gives us hope. Maybe He gives us authority. Maybe He gives us something new. Maybe He renews our thinking. Maybe the way we were thinking about ourselves were old and stale. Maybe God's got something new for you. Maybe God's in the worship time, I think Rachel prayed that we are in the prayer meeting, that we are, we've got a ministry of reconciliation. Maybe God is bringing a fresh revelation of how He wants to use you. However that's going to work out, be open to the Holy Spirit and what that looks like. Because I believe the more we understand God is our Father, that His eyes are always on us, that His hand is always with us, we've got a security, we've got an anchor in our lives, and we can be sure of the future. So there's a condition. Believe in Jesus, and then the second one is pursue God. Pursue God. You know, if you've got the game you play in the pool, Marco Polo, and it's almost like God wants us to pursue Him. God doesn't want a set of robots on earth. He wants people to love Him out of their own will. That is what God wants. And I think God whispers through the Holy Spirit and He says, yeah, I am. I'm revealing a little bit of myself. And this is, so it's almost like God says, Marco, Polo, Marco, Polo. It's almost like God is playing that with us and say, come on, seek me, come and pursue me. And this is, God, is that you? And then I pursue God. And what does it mean? What does pursuing God looks like? It means just bringing God into your mind. So when you start your day, know that God knows what your day is going to look like. You can be sure that you're going to face troubles. Sorry for the bad news. Nothing is going. If you've got a plan, the chances are very good it's not going to work out. Know it. But then be secure in the fact that God is there and He's got a way. Whatever you face, there's a way for you out. And sometimes it's nothing that you have to do, but it's God that's going to do that for you. Oh, where am I? I'm derailing a little bit. So yeah, the Holy Spirit wants to encourage us to approach God with confidence. We don't have to be like the Israelites who tremble with fear when we approach the mountain. Oh, I know my sin. God, I know this is the 100th time I'm getting to this mountain, and I know you are holy and pure, and I know my thoughts, I know my heart, I know what my life looks like, and I know you know as well. And you know, that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to keep you where you were. And say, no, 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 don't approach God. Approach God. That's what the Holy Spirit is encouraging us to do. Approach God with full confidence. Let your guard down. Say who you are. If you're grumpy, tell God you're grumpy. If you're miserable, tell God you're miserable. But don't stay there. Let the Holy Spirit ignite you. Listen to this. I've read this somewhere the last few weeks. It says, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal the Father so that it would ignite our hearts and empower us. There's nothing that will empower the human spirit like encountering the Father. There is nothing that will ignite the empower our hearts more than when the Holy Spirit reveals the Father to us. And I think Christians, as Christians, we know that, but we don't always experience that. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to experience that. It's all good enough to say, yes, I know that. I know I need to know God as a father. I need to know Jesus as an older brother, or whatever it is. But I think God's got more for us. I think God wants us to experience that. There's more to experience in God. It's well to know God with your mind and your thoughts. But God wants us to know that fact with our hearts. And I think this is such an important point, is that when we approach that, even with your failures and faults in your mind, even knowing that, you can approach that God with confidence and full assurance that God still enjoys you. Where's my next scripture? Let's go to Romans. Romans 8, verse 14 to 16. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again of fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us. And in Romans 8, it says, now, have a look at what I want to do. Can you just imagine angels in heaven? They think, wow, these guys can approach God as children of God. And it's not just a mindset. God is actually saying, well, when you believe in Jesus, I adopt you, and you are my kids. You are my son, and you are my daughter. That's mind-blowing. So imagine the same God, Mount Sinai, with fire, lightning and thunder and smoke blowing, and people were kept at a distance, they were trembling. That same God says, you are my son and you are my daughter. I love you. I'm pleased with you. I'm full of joy when I see you. I enjoy you. And that is what the Holy Spirit wants to highlight with us, in us, is that we are sons and daughters. And when you're a son and a daughter, everything that dad owns, you own as well. So God is in charge of the whole universe. He created everything. And you know what that does? Is that, let's imagine you're a small kid and your dad is with you. Maybe you're scared of dogs. And you walk with your dad or someone that you trust. And all of a sudden this dog wants to bite you. As long as your dad is with you, you feel, the dog, I don't worry about the dog, my dad is with me. You know, if you've got a strong person with you, and you walk in the dark, whatever situation scares you, but you know there's a strong, you know, like Barry and Pete, like Pete is scared and Barry walks with him, or Barry is scared and Pete walks with him. And as long as Barry knows Pete is with me, we can face this. You know, in the same way, whatever we're afraid of, if you've got that person close to you, or you've got someone that you trust, like a small child and his dad with his big hands and strong arms as a little toddler, think, oh, luckily my dad is close to me, you know. I can face anything. The dog can't do anything to me. In the same way, what does that do for you? It creates an anchor in that little child's heart. It creates stability. Because now, as long as I held on to my dad's hand and he's close to me, I'm okay. And exactly the same with God. Doesn't matter what you face or what fears you've got or what failures you've got back in your mind. Remember this. As long as God's eyes are on you and his hand is with you, guys, you can face anything. Anything. And that needs to be an anchor in your heart. Doesn't matter what happens. Keep that anchor that God's eyes are on you and that you can face anything. You can face anything because your dad is with you. His eyes are on you and his hand is with you. And it's not, I say that so easily, but it's not always easy to live that. It's not always easy to live that. And I think that is where we have to grow in our maturity to understand what God is like. But please go and dig and pray and ask God to reveal this to you. But if you're a spiritual baby, if you're a spiritual toddler, we often find ourselves that we want to rush ahead. We want to make our own way because we don't see anything happening. We want to take things in our own hands. So God, obviously, your eyes are not on me and your hand is not with me because nothing is happening. And a lot of the time, God is just saying, just relax, chill out a little bit. My eyes are on you, my hand is with you, but I want you to wait. I want you to become mature. I want you to learn to rest in me. I mean, imagine the little boy walking with his dad. Says, oh, obviously the dad's not kicking the dog. Something's going to happen. Rips his hand off and just run. Obviously the dog's going to chase him. So learn how to rest in God. I mean, if God prompts you to move on and do something, do it. But if God doesn't prompt you, stay. Just stay. And learn how to become mature in God. Don't rush ahead. Don't make your own way. There's such a good... Is it a psalm or Isaiah? I can't remember. Psalm 51 or Isaiah 51, verse 10 says, those who light their own fires will lie down in torment. So what God is saying is, if you want to force your own way, it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out. And sometimes we just have to wait, and it's uncomfortable, and it's difficult. Maybe it's 3 months or 6 months or a year. I think, God, I really want to make my own way now. It's getting too uncomfortable. And maybe God is saying, just wait. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. Nothing wrong with that. Just learn to rest in me. Learn to trust me. And I think that's some of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us today. Don't be led by how you feel towards God, but be led by the Holy Spirit. And he will lead you in truth that you are sons and daughters of God. So often we want to rush ahead because that's what we feel. And we're trying to live a spiritual life in our human flesh or way. So we want to try and force spiritual things in human ways. And it just doesn't work. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to teach us just to learn how to rest in God. If you say don't move on, don't move on. Just stay with God. Learn how God works. Become mature. Don't rush it. Don't force your own way. Let's go to John 17, verse 23. I haven't got too long to go. Stay with me. John 17, verse 23. And it says, I'll just start from 22. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. That is massive. That is absolutely huge. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. You know, if you look at these banners that we've got in the church, and it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And think about this quickly. So God gives us the command that we have to love our neighbors in the same way that you love yourself. You have to love others in the same way you have to you love yourself. And when we really do love ourselves, and it is very difficult to love others in the same way that we love ourselves. And listen to what God is saying. And that you love them as much as you love me. So what God is saying is, I love you the same as I love Jesus Christ. I love you the same as I love myself. That's what we can say there. God loves us as much as he loves himself. It takes a bit of time for that to settle, but it is huge. So God loves you the same way as he loves Jesus. That is amazing. It is not like we just a nice little cute add-on. Like you buy a puppy and it's cute for 6 weeks or whatever, and it's cute and you like it. We're not like an add-on. God wants to reveal to us that we are special. He loves us. He adores us. And he loves you the same as he loves himself. That is absolutely mind-blowing. And you think, wow, with all my faults, with all my failures, he loves me like he loves Jesus. That is how much God loves you. That is how much God loves you. So Jesus says in the beginning, he says, yep, I came to die so that your sins can be forgiven. And then he also says, I walked with you for all this time so that you can see what the Father is like. Because if you see me, you see the Father. Because I only do what he wants me to do. And then he says, I also come to take away hindrances. Because so often we want to approach the mountain with fire and lightning and thunder. And then there's hindrances. And the main hindrance that we've got is obviously sin. But when we believe in Jesus, that's taken care of. That hindrance is gone. It's taken away. And we've got full access. But we ourselves and other people put hindrances so that we cannot access God. And we have to be very aware of that. So let me give you an example. So just imagine, this is in the New Testament, Jesus is sitting. Lots of people bring a lady to Jesus and says, look, I think we have to stone her because she's been caught in adultery. And Jesus says, okay, but all of you that haven't sinned, pick up the first stone. So what Jesus is saying, okay, if you're perfect and pure and holy, then yeah, you go ahead, you stone them. And they all just drop their stones and they walk away because they knew there was no one that's without sin. And what does Jesus do with this lady? He looks at her. She knows what she was doing. He doesn't preach to her. He doesn't tell her, look, go to church for 2 years, be on time, go and have communion, go and wear something funny, put a funny hat on in a funny church, go and, I don't know what it is, whatever. He doesn't give her a lot of rules. He doesn't give her a lot of man-made rules. He just says, go and don't sin. I don't condemn you. As easy as that. So we have to be careful that we, and even in our church, that we can put things in church that actually hinders our access to God. So we can almost train Christians to behave in a certain way or look a certain way and say, oh, yeah, you look, you now you look holy. Now you look better. You must obviously be born again now. No, no. We can put things on people, hindrances that hinders them from, oh, so obviously I'm not good enough to approach God. I first have to get rid of X, Y, Z. You know, for someone who's maybe a drug addict or alcoholic, let's say he stops with the drugs, but he still smokes. For that person to stop drugs but keep on smoking, whew, man, wonderful. Keep on smoking then. I don't care. But you've got full access to God. And a lot of the time we can judge people. I say, no, no, no. You go and fix things in your life, and then you've got full access to God. Just remember, there's two qualifications, two conditions. Believe in Jesus and war against sin. Jesus doesn't say, once you are perfect, once you've dealt with all your things, now come in full access. No, God says, no hindrances. Jesus paid it all. The curtain was torn. I know everyone's heart, says God. I will deal with them. My Holy Spirit is with them. Just give them full access to God. And I believe that's what God is saying this morning. Guys, forget about getting it perfect. Yes, we aim for perfection. We aim to be holy. But don't let the devil highlight those things in your life. We've got full access to God right now. Right now. Oh, I went ahead of myself. God enjoys us in our weakness. He's not waiting until we are perfect. God is willing to connect with us right now. And what I want you to walk away with today is exactly that. You know, let the Holy Spirit highlight that truth in your heart. That when failures, troubles, persecution, whatever it is, you're afraid of the future, not sure how things are going to work out, run towards God. Run towards God. Make Him come up in your thoughts a lot. Think about Him regularly. But don't think of God as an angry lightning and fire and trembling God. But think of Him as a loving dad with strong hands, with His eyes on you. Okay. And like I said earlier, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to highlight things. And I think also with Sean's word that come in alignment with God. What does that manifest like? What does that look like when we get this revelation? And I think for different people, it manifests in different ways. Like I say, for some is hope. Hope for the future. Hope for a partner. Hope for finances. Hope for relationships to be restored. For some, it's something new. Maybe new authority. Something new. New thinking. New thinking. Rachel, can I just ask you to come and play your guitar, and I want to pray for people. And after that, I really want you to, open your heart with God. And if there's something new, let God highlight things for you. And then after I prayed for people, we've got another song that the worship team is going to do, and we're going to worship together for a song. Let's stand quickly. Let's stand and hear what God wants to say. I want to pray for people. And then after I'm done, I want to ask people to pray for one another. If you feel God is leading you to pray for someone, I want you to do that. Because God says we are all ministers. We are all priests before Him. We all got the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to wait for someone specific. But God highlighted a few people to me this morning. And I want to pray for them. The one is John. God showed me a picture while we were busy worshiping and you were playing your bass guitar. And it's like you were standing in front of a mirror and you see your, you saw yourself, you were looking at yourself, and you saw yourself in the way that you see yourself, with all your faults, with all your failures, with all your past, and that is what you saw. And then I saw God move that mirror away, and He brought a new mirror. He wants to see that. He wants you to see the true you that He created. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to show you that new mirror of how God created you. Can I pray for you? You know, just come to the front and pray for you. And I think what God wants to do today is to take that old mirror, the way you see yourself, is and take it away. And I believe God wants to show you a new mirror. God wants to show you a new mirror. I want to thank you, God, for who John is, that you created him. That you created him. You're well pleased with him, God. You are well pleased. You enjoy John. John, God is saying, I enjoy you, John. I made you. I made you to love the surf. I made you to love the ocean. I place desires and thoughts in your heart and in your head. That's from me. I want you to see the new picture, the new mirror of what how I created you. There's new things I want you to do. There's new authority that I want to give you. Throw away the old mirror and look at the new mirror that I've placed before you. Look at the new mirror. Holy Spirit, will you come and reveal to John now and in the next weeks to come? Show him the new mirror. Show him the new John, the way God created you. Holy Spirit, will you come and have your way this morning with this new image? Let John see himself, God, like you've created him, the way you've made him, pure, perfect, because he's got Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll flood John's thoughts and heart. Thank you for the new things you are doing. Thank you for the new image that he can see in you, God. Jesus has paid the price. There's a new John. There's a newness that he can live in. Holy Spirit, I want to pray for a confidence and a boldness to approach God in a new way. Full access. Full access. Come and have your way, God. Amen. And then, Paul, I've seen you, and when Sean brought that word this morning, I saw you were there. That it's not that you're doing anything wrong, but I believe God wants to bring something new, a new understanding maybe. And God is calling you to more. God is calling you to more. God, I want to pray for Paul that he'll be able to step into the newness, into the new alignment with God. Not that there's anything wrong with the old, but God's doing something different. There's a new direction, more authority, more love, more tenderness. Holy Spirit, will you come and have your way? Will you come and have your way this morning, I pray. Thank you for what you're placing on Paul. Will you be able to, God, Holy Spirit, give him the ability to see it, to realize it. Help him not to rush ahead, but help him to wait and hear your voice. Thank you that you've given him a heart for people. Thank you that his desire is to help people. God, I pray that you'll overcome some of his faults and failures like you're doing all of us and step into the newness. Holy Spirit, will you do that this morning? Will you do that this morning? And Pete, for you as well. It's a funny picture, but anyway, it's like you've been driving a little beetle and God's given you a new car. He says, actually, it's not a beetle that I've planned you to drive. My purpose for you is actually to drive a V8. And there's more. There's more There's more that comes with that. God wants to give you, He's given you a heart for people, but He wants you now to actually use it, to be that conduit. And God, you need to understand the authority you've got. You need to understand the boldness, the wisdom, the truth, and the authority that God has given you. By resisting that, you're actually telling God that you don't believe it. Believe the authority that God has given you. You have to get with God and believe that. Look, I don't want to put a list of things that you have to go and do. You have to get with God and be Spirit-led in what He wants you to do. But that includes proclaiming as well, proclaiming His truths to people. I believe that's what God wants to do. God, I want to pray for Pete. That you do that, Holy Spirit, that you will give him the boldness, that he understands the authority and the truth of what is of what you've put on his life. Help him to walk in that, Lord God. Will you give him the tools and the handles that he needs to walk in that, I pray. Do that, Lord God. Do that. God has called you to touch and influence many lives. Many lives. But it's not in a bold, macho, Magnum PI type of way. It's in your way. It's in your way that you're going to do that. It's like Jesus. He's meek, but he's not weak. He's tender, but he's not pushy. But he's strong. And I believe God wants to do the same with you in your life. God, I want to pray for everyone that's here today. If it's hobbies, things we are interested in, desires, longings. I thank you, God, that you know all of that. I thank you that you know all of that. And that we can come with full confidence knowing that you enjoy us. You enjoy us. You want us to do well. You want us to enjoy life. You want us to enjoy hobbies and sport and all these things. But with you, the main focus and in alignment with your will. Thank you, we've got full access. God, help us to be so aware that we don't put hindrances that hinders people from you. We put our own man-made rules and regulations in the way so that people don't have access to God. Help us not to be, those kind of people. Help us to encourage people because they've got full access to you. Amen.